You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Red Shirts and Runabouts. This is Derek. We have a unique episode for you this week. Last weekend, Greg and I were at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City, and we hosted a panel with the goal to create the ultimate Star Trek crew. And we did this with the audience at our panel. And the audio quality is pretty good. So we thought we would share that with everybody who listens to our show here. So we hope you enjoy it. There are some parts where we might be listening to what someone's saying. You might not quite be able to hear them, but we do recap everything people say if you're not able to hear it. And I just think you might find it interesting who ends up being in our ultimate Star Trek crew. We will be back next week for a double feature of our Star Trek Discovery reviews that will also include Perpetual Infinity. So join us for that, or you can just, you know, skip ahead and wait for that one if this is not your cup of tea. All right, enjoy.
Hi everyone. Welcome. I'm Derek. Hi.
I'm Greg, and I'm a Star Trek addict.
Greg, this is an intervention. It's not actually a panel.
Okay. Not actually a panel?
This is a safe space.
That's why they brought the Star Wars. Yeah, the
Star Wars groups. We are Red Shirts and Runabouts. We are a podcast from the Heroes Podcast Network here in Kansas City. Greg and I talk Trek every week. So we've been reviewing Discovery Season 2. Any Discovery fans? Okay. See, this is important because the last time I gave this panel, there was one in the room who had watched Discovery at all. So the thing, it was slanted a bit because we couldn't really talk about those characters. So
I still haven't finished the most recent episode because we've been working Planet Comic Con.
So. Yeah. No. Yeah. So we'll do our best. We'll do our best. That there might be a couple things in here that might be a little spoiler-ish, I guess, but we can kick things off. This is actually being recorded as an episode for the show, so we'll have a bonus episode. Yeah.
Mike, I'm watching you.
So here's the goal. The goal is to discuss the various kind of bridge officer type roles on a standard Star Trek ship, slanted towards the Enterprise, I suppose, because that's a little bit easier. And we want your input as well. Now, there is not a microphone to pass around to people. So if you do have something you'd like to say, I've got this mic that I brought here. It's not super long. It probably reaches the projector stand. But if you want to come and grab it and say what you want to say, you could even line up over there if you'd like to. I want this to be engaging, pun not intended. So, okay.
Come on. That was absolutely intended.
What other word do you use?
Interactive.
Okay.
No, you can just, you know, current executing. There you go.
Executing really sounds really intense.
It does sound really intense.
You know.
By the way, do we have anybody in here that's actually listened to our podcast?
Oh yeah.
Eric, I know you have.
Oh, okay. Blair has. Hi.
How much cool. have you listened to, Blair? Wow.
Just a few. Okay.
I'm the critical one on the podcast, by the way. I'm the guy that I have a firm believer that you can love something and still criticize it. Does that make any sense? Like I'm a huge, huge Game of Thrones fan. Like from the books and the show, but at the same time, I will rag on Game of Thrones as much as like anybody out there because I'm like, why'd they make that decision? I'm like, why instead of watching a battle for 10 minutes, why are we watching Tyrion talk for 10 minutes? I love Tyrion, but I'm like, really? And so sometimes I'm critical of Discovery and I get somebody angry tweeting me. Like, you hate humans. I'm like, I don't hate people. I do not. I love people. I have 3 cats. How can I hate people? Because I have cats. Okay, I walked into that one.
All right, so some of these are going to take longer to discuss than others because some have more choices than others. So we're going to kick things off kind of easy with our counselor because there's really only been 2 official counselors on any of our major starships. Greg, who would you have on your ship?
I mean, we have more content with Deanna Troi as counselor, so she kind of wins with the content card. I would say Ezri Dax had a lot of impact on the crew in her short time, if you count her. Because when she's Ezri Dax, she's also like half Jadzia Dax, and she's like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. If we're talking specifically counselor, I think I kind of have to go with Deanna Troi, mainly because I loved her freak out when she saw the Hollow simulations with Barkley. And I think that's what a real person would do. She would react like that, and then she would come back down to earth. I'm that guy on the show. I love it when people act like people. I don't like it when humans act like robots. Like if Data acts like an android, I'm like, I get it. But when people act like they have no emotions, and Troy is just full of emotions all the time, I kind of like that.
You don't think Ezri is?
Ezri is full of emotions, but I think she's also more grounded. Because every so often she drops that line, well, when my time is Curzon, I'm like, that's not... Like, if Deanna Troi had, like, 3 lifetimes to live off of, or 8 lifetimes.
So I think that's why I like Ezri, though, because she does have 8 lifetimes. And, you know, lots of different experiences, different roles, different time frames. You know, one was a criminal.
One was a criminal.
Too inexperienced. That's interesting. Too young. Okay.
And in defense of Deep Space Nine, I believe Terry Farrell's even done interviews that she left the show to go kind of explore other options, and she somewhat regretted leaving Deep Space Nine because she was like Leonard Nimoy from way back when. She's like, I hate being Jadzia Dax. And then she got a little bit older. She's like, I really like being Jadzia Dax, and I regret leaving.
So much so that she married a Nimoy.
She did marry a Nimoy. And she is one of the most prolific Terry Farrell. If any of you have been to a Trek convention, she is one of the most active actresses at those conventions when it comes to speaking. But talking about counselors.
Yeah, so
we're divided.
All right, so we have Ezri maybe a little too inexperienced, too young. Anybody else have an opinion out there? Ezri's youth makes her a little more fun. I mean, for me, it means that she might be around a little bit longer. What's up?
Counselor Troi has superpowers. She wins.
Because she's empathic?
Exactly.
When it's convenient?
Exactly.
To the story?
Yeah. Yeah, when it doesn't actually help.
That's a good point, though. Ezri is not empathic.
Eric, we got another one up.
Okay. So yeah, the argument here for those listening in is why is there a counselor on the bridge? And I agree with you, but she was on the bridge, so we're trying not to leave anyone out.
Look, I got to give you credit because you remember there was a few episodes where she has that weird office that you never really see often. But then what was it? Season 7 when she became a full commander and like outranked Data, and everybody had that question like, all right, Data's been in Starfleet for like 30 years. And remember, they're like, oh, he's got like 2 Legions of Valor. I'm like, how is he still a lieutenant commander?
Well, they have a whole episode about how people don't want to take orders from an android, though. So it was discrimination is what it was.
I think if you just pick somebody up and snaps them, I think they would listen to him. Yeah. You know, it's Terminator time.
Back there. That's a good point. So the comment there is that she's being on the bridge. She can help, you know, Picard or whoever with whoever they're interacting with on the view screen because she can, you know, sense what they're, are they lying? Are they?
Yeah.
Well,
she's a sensor. She is a piece of equipment on the bridge. She is a sensor.
So I guess, like, so maybe we need to be more specific then. If we only want this person to be a counselor, who would be the better counselor? Yes. The who? Yeah. Guinan, sorry. Well, right, so...
Well, okay, that's absolutely fair. This, you know, we can have a spoiler
the
wild card
the
option.
Bartender? Well, we do have a weird wild card option, yeah. But we'll get to that one. Bartender. But we don't have a bartender one. That's a good one, though. Yes. So Ezri was a little more proactive, maybe? A little more proactive? Okay. No one's really questioning her position. So let's take your comment, and then we'll do a vote and move on. Ezri's more relatable. Yeah, I agree with that. Ezri being a little easier to talk to, more relatable. So let's do a vote. Who would want Deanna Troi? Who would want Ezri? Okay, so Deanna Troi is going to move on.
Guinan. Okay, third vote. How many people would pick Guinan?
Well, Deanna still wins, but yeah, that's fair. All right, so then we have our communications officers. For those who don't watch Discovery, Bryce has not had a huge role, but he is on the bridge all the time. So we, of course, have Uhura and Hoshi as well as our comms officers. That role was kind of absorbed in the other shows by other characters who will also be in other positions on this list, which is why it's just these three. So anybody want to throw out a reason for Uhura? Yes. Oh, go ahead. Hoshi's language skills are very impressive. She invented the universal translator in the back. Uhura is the original woman badass on TV. Yes, that is true. Definitely true.
I'm gonna be that guy. Are there any heavy objects in the room? Abrams Universe Uhura.
Specifically?
Abrams Universe Uhura, because she can. Because she does so many amazing, because she speaks like how many languages. And I remember watching Undiscovered, remember I joke about this on the podcast. You watch Undiscovered Country and Uhura's like 63 and she doesn't speak Klingon.
And I'm like, she's looking through a phone book trying.
I'm like, yeah, she's looking through a phone book, which is, I get it. It's great for the movie. It's perfect for the movie. You know what I mean? It's like a scene for the movie. But I still, Uhura. Uh-oh, here. After how many like conflicts?
Well, actually, in the original series, Uhura did know many languages in that.
True.
Then Nomad erased her memory.
Ooh.
And after that, you do see her using dictionaries to learn Klingon in the movies.
That was still like 30 years before Undiscovered Country.
That's true.
I know, that was a pretty good comeback.
Yeah, huge comeback.
Well, I mean, you know, she was promoted a bit, right? So maybe she just wasn't doing that as much anymore. You lose it, you know, use it or lose it kind of thing. But I like the point about Hoshi, though. She invented the universal translator. She had to translate on the fly in front of brand new aliens that we had never come in contact with before. It's a pretty big one. I like that. Yes. That's true. She does have a lot of a stress on her shoulders, but what was it? Imposter syndrome? Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, because she still accomplishes every time, well, basically every time, right? Everybody stumbles in some episode, but yeah, she does move through that. And I think that in itself is kind of a relatable thing. We've all tried. I'm sorry?
The introvert.
Yeah, the introvert is the one that gets stuff done in this case. I mean, yeah, she didn't want to be in space. She wanted to be a teacher back on Earth, and Archer kind of forced her into leaving. She never wanted to be on the ship, remember? They had to change what side her quarters were on because the stars were going the wrong way.
Well, and it's another good point. In Bryce's defense, we don't get a lot of interaction with him as a communications officer.
No.
A few times he hits a few buttons. But the thing about Hoshi is, again, she's very, very personable in a sense of that she's human. And my complaint about Michael Burnham from Discovery isn't that the actress isn't talented. It's that she's almost like too perfect. It's like everything is regimented. And I get what they're doing. It's because of the Vulcan background. So yeah. I compare that to Hoshi, who Hoshi makes a mistake and she like feels bad about the mistake. And I'm, as like a person, if I make a mistake at work, I get it. All of you could be like, Greg, it's fine. We got over it in 30 seconds. But to me, I'm going to do what Hoshi does and kick my own butt for 3 days before I finally get over it. And I kind of can relate with Hoshi. So, I mean, you're all turning me. It was Uhura. I feel bad now.
Let's do a vote so we can move on then. So who says Uhura? Good number of people. Hoshi? Looks like a little more for Hoshi. Anyone for Bryce? Anyone have a good reason for Bryce? No? Okay. All right. So I think that's Hoshi. I think Hoshi won that one.
I think
one.
Hoshi wins.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll move on. So we have our operations officers. Just three again. Of course, Data. Everyone knows Data. Poor Harry Kim, the only person in Starfleet never to be promoted. And we have Oesakun from Discovery. So who wants to give me... Does anybody have any argument to be made for one of these characters out of the gate? Anybody at all? Yes.
Kim was constantly taking more responsibility. The other ones were kind of... I did, and then they never really accepted it. It was kind of given to them, but he didn't really say, hey, I'm ready to do this. Kim was.
Kim was always taking on more responsibilities. He wanted that promotion. Yes. Right. That's true. Yeah, there's not really a lot of room for promotion. Though Tom was able to be demoted and re-promoted.
Wait, you mean Nick Locarno, right?
Right. True.
I think at that point, it's just like anything. You start doing the job necessary to get home. And that means even if I don't normally do that, if that's going to get me 2 parsecs closer to home, let's go.
That's a good point.
Well, what I love is there's actually a lot of discussion in here already that's not just about Data. I was worried. I was like, everybody's going to pick Data because everybody loves Brent Spiner. And it's the obvious choice.
It's the obvious choice.
And everybody loves Commander Data, but there is something to be said that an android doesn't have that until he gets, you know, the emotion down the road. I'm talking Data in the show. Kim had a little bit more of that ability to interpolate people and an ability to kind of adjust to the situation. And he had that constant desire to grow. And he kind of got to see that. I'm actually going through a rewatch of Voyager because I admit when I watched it when I was younger, I don't think it's not that I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. And now that I'm rewatching it, it's fantastic. Hold on, Mike, because one, and then there was somebody over here with their hand up.
Well, that's true. In the futures, Kim is usually permanent. He's a captain at one point, right?
And I know he's actually spoken out about saying if they did another Star Trek series, he would love to be on it.
He does get promoted in the books.
He does get promoted in the books.
In Kirsten Byers' books.
So, she just
Alyssa Kuhn's pretty cool. And Discovery's mission for the first two seasons has been a little more intense, in my opinion, than the other shows. Like, I mean, Voyagers could have been if it had been written a little differently, you know, in the 90s. But yeah, I mean, they've got a tough job. They're constantly being covert in some way. There's the whole Klingon War. What were you going to say?
I'm going to throw a wrench in there.
Okay. Yes.
So, like, I mean, does he only have half as much? Like,
I mean,
which version?
That's fair.
Just a slight variant. Whichever one gets promoted first. Yes, back there. Fair.
You actually bring up a good point because a couple episodes ago on our podcast, we were actually talking about Best of Both Worlds when I'm assuming all of us have seen Next Generation because I'm about to drop major spoilers for a 30-year-old
for 1993.
So there's a scene when Riker is picking out his first officer, right? And he's going over Data and he's talking about Shelby and he's talking about Worf and he stops on Worf. And I remember talking to Derek, I'm like, why would he ever consider Worf? Worf's a lieutenant, he's below on the chain of command. And Derek brought up a good point of they're in war and they're trying, he wants to maybe pick a more tactical type of first officer. And I had never thought about it like that. And a lot of you are saying things about Harry Kim that sometimes as an operations officer, you have to be able to improvise. And that's something, now that I'm rewatching Voyager, like Tuvok and Harry Kim, like every couple minutes on that bridge, they are doing something to try to help out their situation. And Data has that, obviously the programming knowledge, but so I'm swaying here. We had a couple...
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the D was the flagship. It had pretty strong. I mean, Voyager was the dinky little science vessel.
Yeah, but ensigns don't do well on the Enterprise D.
That's true.
I mean, we got to be honest. You're gonna fall through the floor at some point.
All right, let's. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, yeah, he can. But we'll talk to, which is just ops, though, right? Just that one job. So let's do a vote. So who wants data? Oof. All right. Kim and Osakun. Okay. Well, at least she got more votes than Bryce.
I think Data wins.
Data wins that one, yeah. Okay, so just as a recap, so we've got Deanna Troy as our counselor. We've got Hoshi as our communications officer. And we now have Data as our operations officer. Right? I remember that right?
You did remember that right.
All right. So here is our specialist wild card type officer. Quark is not on this list. So our options... Right, exactly. You'd sell the ship, exactly. So our options are Guinan, Neelix, Seven of Nine, and Burnham. And the reason Michael Burnham is on this list, I'm going to do my best not to spoil anything for anybody, but her role continuously changes on Discovery. And it's very difficult to put her in a specific job, a specific role, but she is the lead on the show. It's her show, right? So she's constantly in focus, but what she does changes quite a bit. In fact, most of the first season, she's not even an officer. So that's why this is where she is, because we thought she deserved to be somewhere. So, all right, so let's talk. We've already talked a bit about Guinan. What about Neelix? Anybody want Neelix? Want a chef? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the comment from our audience was that Neelix has that positive atmosphere. He brings that positive vibe, good communication. There's something you got to say. I can say it again, having my rewatch of Voyager. He reacts to things, I think, more naturally, even as an actor. When like something's happening on a ship, he's like, remember the early on, he's like, I'm leaving. He's like, this ship is crazy, and I'm out. And people like talk him into staying, but I'm like, that's. That's kind of like what a normal person would do. Mm-hmm. It's like, I kind of get it. So Neelix is in this positive attitude. He's always happy. He always finds a reason to be happy. One thing
I want to add real quick is that we were talking about like what Harry Kim likes to take on more responsibility. Neelix does too, right? He comes on board and of course he's a chef, but he wants to become the security officer. He becomes the morale officer. He's constantly looking for more responsibilities to contribute more.
He starts his own podcast.
He does.
There we go.
All right. So who did you point out first? He's almost a counselor. I mean, that's as the morale officer for sure. He's definitely a very counselor role.
And then we had, sorry, Eric. I was going to call you Melisandre because of the red hair, but.
Yeah, Neelix was an expert on that part of space. And to your point, yeah, they go beyond his experience, but he's always that guy who you could rely on to do everything he could for you. He may not be able to save the day, but he certainly would try his best. That's true. He did leave. That's a good point. He's not really one to stick with the full journey.
There's something I'm going to say about Guinan, and I'm going to boil it down to, okay, this is when people are probably going to boo. I'm going to boil it down to one sentence she has in season two for why I love Guinan and think she deserves to be known as one of the saviors of the Federation. It's the episode Q-Hu when they're first meeting with the Borg, when throws them in the Delta Quadrant. It's at the very end of the episode when Guinan and Picard are talking and Guinan drops the line. She's like, yeah, it's going to be this, that, and the other. And she's like, now they know you're here. And Picard's like, oh, so they'll be coming. And then that one line leads into all of those episodes where they're talking about, even on DS9, how after that encounter, Starfleet started building up an actual battle fleet, the Defiant class, the mm-hmm. Akira class, the Steamrunner class. All these ships were designed for one purpose, to fight the Borg. And it's all because they had that encounter, and I think Guinan reinforced that with Picard. I could be boiling way more into that to a 10 sentence.
Well, there's another good point about Guinan, though. I mean, Q is afraid of her.
Q use it for all, but I mean,
that's kind of a big deal.
You know, I mean, and the reason I mention that is people talk about Kirk saving the universe or Michael Burnham saving the universe, but Guinan legitimately says they're now they know you're here and they'll be coming.
That's true.
And I'm like, if she doesn't do that,
All right. So anybody for Seven or Michael? I want to continue our conversation. Yeah.
Two Vicks.
Seven has a pretty wide skill set, all the knowledge of the Borg type of thing. All right, so we're running shorter on time. So anybody from Michael? I want to hear from somebody from Michael.
General skill set
for Michael. Anything else for Michael? She's the Swiss Army knife. Okay, so let's take a vote. So who wants Guinan? Okay, Neelix. Okay, Seven. Okay. Wow. And Michael. All right. So seven of nine clearly wins that one. All right. So we'll move on.
Well, all right. Really quick. I know we got to move on, but there's a young girl in the audience. You picked Michael Burnham.
Oh, I didn't see. I'm sorry.
No, I just want to reflect on that. I have a 3-year-old daughter at home, and I want to reflect that one of the youngest Star Trek fans in the audience picked Michael Burnham. And I think that's kind of important. Star Trek's always been about inclusion. And I get when people have legitimate complaints about maybe something that feels forced. But anytime we get new Star Trek fans into the world, that's doing y'all are doing something right. So thank you.
All right. So now we have our Helms officer, and there are six of them. We've got, of course, Sulu, Wesley Crusher, Jadzia Dax, Tom Paris, Travis Mayweather, and Kayla Detmer. It's a lot of people to talk through. So I want to hear from one person for each one of these. We don't. So who wants Sulu? Let's hear somebody from Sulu. Yes. Sulu knows how to use a sword. Okay. All right. Fair enough. What about Wesley? Anybody for Wesley? Yes. The guy in the Wesley hoodie.
I feel honored about it for Wesley with his shirt on. But I'm impressed with Wesley because he was too young to get a driver's license, but he was piloting the Enterprise.
Too young for a driver's license, but piloting the Enterprise. What about Jadzia? Yes. She's got seven experiences of lifetimes under. That's true.
Let's face it. Whenever she's on the Defiant, they say engage with, like, evasive maneuvers. You actually see the Defiant spin. The other ships, they kind of just like
list lazily in. To the left.
But yeah, list lazily to the left or the right. So yeah.
What about Tom? Anybody for? Yes. Tom was unliked. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Tom earned it too. He's most human character. He did basically, I mean, with B'Elanna's help, of course, design a shuttlecraft, which is pretty difficult. What about Mayweather? Probably the least developed character in all of Star Trek. Yes. That's a good point. He was the first at something, which the others are not. He was the first Warp 5 pilot. That's a pretty big deal. He must have been pretty good. What about Detmer on Disco? Yes. Her interpersonal relationships, I think, are a big part of her character, right? That she's a really strong character. I don't want to spoil anything, but part of, you know, her augmentation comes up in recent episodes. That is a pretty cool story arc as well. So let's take a vote. Who wants Sulu?
Yeah.
He makes a mean holodeck program. Yes, he does. Tom does, yeah. All right, so Sulu. Okay, Wesley. Okay, Jadzia. Okay, Tom. Okay, Mayweather and Kayla. Okay, so I think it was Tom.
Let's see all the hands for Tom again.
And then Jadzia, I think, was second. Oh, no, Jadzia wins. Jadzia wins. Okay. Glad we double checked. All right, so Jadzia is our helms officer. All right. We're gonna blaze through this one because we're getting tight here. So we're gonna blaze through this. We have Chekov, Worf, Tuvok, Odo, Reed, Landry, Tyler, and Nan. Now, if you don't watch Discovery, those last three are gonna be a little bit confusing for you. Nan is actually from the Enterprise and comes over with Pike on season two of Discovery. So I just want to do a straight vote here, and if it's really close, we'll debate those. So who wants Chekov? Aww. Worf. Everybody. Tuvok. Okay, Odo. Okay, Reed. Okay, anybody from Discovery? Greg.
I'm sorry. I love Commander Nan.
Nan's really cool.
We've only seen her in a few episodes, and realistically, to me, it's either Worf or Tuvok. But something about Commander Nan is the few decisions we've seen her make, she has made for very specific, legitimate tactical reasons, like when. A certain character, for those of you who've seen Discovery, it's not going to spoil anything for you, and I'm not going to spoil anything for those who haven't. When a certain character comes on board the ship, she's like following that character around. She's like, I don't know who you
are. That's
true.
I
don't trust you. Why are you on this ship? I don't want you on this ship. So in my brain, I'm like, that's kind of what a security chief would do.
Yeah.
And plus, she had a pretty, again, this is not a spoiler, but she had a pretty severe interaction recently, and she still did the job that needed to be done.
She's hardcore.
And plus, she's the first Barzan main kind of main character we've ever had. And that's just...
First one in Starfleet, I guess, right? Because they're not even part of the Federation by TNG. Right. So, all right. So, Worf. True. Yeah. Odo's the same way. You're right.
And Odo saved an entire species.
All right. Yeah, Worf definitely won that one.
So, the thing about Worf, just go on YouTube and search Worf's rejections. Somebody put together like a 20-minute clip of all the times Picard told Worf no. And
it's a lot of times.
It is a lot of times.
Follow that up with the Riker sitting video, and you're golden. All right, so we have our chief engineer. There's six main ones to choose from here. I know Stamets is not the chief engineer, so we're not going to discuss that, but I wanted somebody we actually knew, and we don't actually really know the chief engineer on Discovery. So, all right. Who would want Scotty? Let's do a vote, and we'll Uhura? Oh, okay. Geordi. Okay. O'Brien. Poor O'Brien. B'Elanna. That's my vote. We got Tucker, Trip. Oh, good number with Trip. Okay. And Stamets. Only two for Stamets. Okay. So, I actually think it was kind of split a little bit. So let's see. Why Geordi? He's brilliant. I mean, they're all pretty brilliant. I mean, B'Elanna does a ton of that, though. Yeah, but I mean, if that's who your engineer is, who would you want? Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, some of my favorite scenes of Voyager are when her and Janeway get together to solve some type of problem, right?
Blair, we haven't heard from you in a while. You're more Star Wars-y, but you're also your first love was... You started as a Trekkie.
Voyager's about survival. Mm-hmm. Right. Right, exactly. Whereas, like, Geordi's, you know, trying to just make different variances less a lot of the time, you know? Yes, Eric?
But Scotty will fight Klingons over the insult of the ship.
Yes, he will.
He'll drink with Klingons.
You and then Red.
Well, I think Geordi has a special
relationship with the person that's not
intentional. That's true. He very much does.
All right, last comment, we'll vote. Okay. Poor O'Brien. Yeah, O'Brien's had a rough go.
Oh, the criminal choice. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was rough. All right, so let's do a final vote here. So Scotty, Jordy, okay, O'Brien, Balana, okay, Tripp, a couple of people, and Stamets. Okay. Who did you think that was? I think it was Jordy.
It was either Jordy or Miles.
All right, let's do those two. Jordy or Miles are your two choices. Jordy, O'Brien.
Are y'all kidding me? This is.
All right, so we'll take both of them and we'll just put O'Brien back in the transporter room. That got a really like that got some booze or something. I was.
15 minutes. Okay. By the way, there's a webcomic out there called O'Brien at Work, and it's literally him standing in the transporter room. Just it's like the first two panels really are blank, yeah. And then the third panel sometimes something happens, but most of the time it's just blank.
All right, CMO, our chief medical officer. Again, I know Colbert is not the CMO, but we also have not met the CMO on Discovery. So let's do what we've been doing here. So who wants McCoy? Bones? Few people, okay. Crusher? Fewer people. Bashir? About the same as Bones, okay. The EMH? There we go, all right. Phlox? A couple of people there. And then Colbert. Nobody for Colbert? One for Colbert. We got one for Colbert. Two for Colbert. Okay, cool. He's had a rough go of things, guys.
In defense, we haven't gotten a lot of Colbert medical episodes.
No, not yet. Okay, well, the EMH won that one kind of by a landslide, which is where my vote would have gone as well. I love the doctor.
Who picked Phlox?
We got a couple of Phloxes.
Anybody want to just give... Zoidberg.
Phlox? Phlox is Zoidberg. I never noticed that before. Yeah, he is very, he's more experimental. I think that's what creeps me out. I don't know that I want to be treated with all those animals and insects and stuff that he's got in the lab. That's a good point. But the EMH does have that whole knowledge of the entire database, right? So, okay, so the EMH wins that one. That one was pretty easy. Things are getting tougher.
For those of you listening at home, you couldn't hear the collective groan.
So now look, here's where things get complicated. Spock does, of course, become a captain later, becomes an ambassador later. Saru has not been the first officer the entire time, but the significant majority of it. So here we go. So we've got Spock, Riker, Kira, Chakotay, T'Pol, and Saru. So who says Spock? A good number of people. The normal, everyday Spock. Prime Spock. Riker. Not as many as I thought. Okay. Kira? Kira's pretty cool. Okay. Chakotay. Okay. T'Pol. A couple for T'Pol. And Saru. Saru gets my vote, by the way. So, okay. So, yeah, if you're not caught up in Discovery, you might change your mind when you learn more about Saru in season two. But, yeah, so I guess Spock wins that one by a landslide. I thought this would be a harder one, guys. I really did. Yes. Saru steps up. He is motivational. He is caring and kind and strong and has quickly become one of my favorite characters in Star Trek.
If he's not captain in season three, I'm going to riot.
Seriously. Like, Pike is great. Don't get me wrong, but...
He does have...
and you know epic what? Facial hair for Riker.
And he did shave it in Insurrection for Troy. I mean, that's kind
smooth
of...
smooth as an android's bottom, yeah. Eh, Data? Kira's, yeah.
The experience that she truly brings to the table, especially in a war zone situation like DS9.
She was put in a pretty tough situation, right? Her planet's just now liberated. The station's really taken over by another foreign group. There's still threats from the Cardassians. She's had a tough go, too.
The one thing I'll say about Kira, I love Kira. She got my vote. I think she's the one that's most ready to take over as like a full-time leader compared to the rest. I think Saru is a natural leader.
Not Riker after like 12 years as first officer?
It's good. Well, aside from constantly turning down ship, anybody who's in the military, if you turn down like four officers of command, the Navy's going to like, you're done. We're done spending money and time on you. But the thing I love about Kira is whenever she was in command, she never treated herself like the first officer. She basically said, I'm the representative of the Bajoran government. Yeah. Sisko's not here. You will talk to me or you will talk to nobody. And I like that commanding presence.
If you catch up on Disco and you do not think Saru is a phenomenal character, you contact me. We'll have a talk. All right. So here we go, guys. We got 10 minutes. Now, here's where things get really tough. A lot of people in here haven't watched Discovery, and Anson Mount's portrayal of Captain Pike is really freaking fantastic. I love it. What?
Where is Commander Peter Quincy Taggart?
Taggart.
Thank you, Eric. You always keep us grounded, buddy.
All right, so this is going to be a tough one. I imagine we're not going to be split evenly on all eight of these, but we've got Kirk, Picard, Sisko, Janeway, Archer, Georgiou, Lorca, and Pike in order of appearance, not in order that they actually commanded, of course. Okay, so Kirk, and where this is all prime timeline stuff, I guess, because of the pictures. Yeah, so we got Kirk. We got one for Kirk, two. Okay, there we go. Okay. I was surprised. I didn't know he'd win, but. All right, so we have a few for Kirk. Picard. So you're all going to be watching the new show then in the fall, right? You're all going to be CBS All Access subscribers. All right, just checking. All right, Sisko. Dude goes off the rails during the war. Come on, guys. All right. That's what I want to call him about. Right? Janeway. Janeway actually gets my vote. So. That's hurtful. That's hurtful. Archer. Nobody? One? One for Archer? First Warp 5 captain? Okay. Georgiou. We got one for Georgiou. Maybe a second. Oh, there we go. Okay. Another one over here. All right. Lorca. We got one for Lorca. Clearly, you haven't watched all of Discovery yet. I don't know. It's complicated. All right. And then we have Pike. Who really? Nobody? I would have given Pike my vote if I nobody was in a. You can vote. Okay.
So here's my thing.
Okay.
I would pick Picard if I want to live a long, safe, peaceful life. I would.
Otherwise.
I would totally pick. Actually, believe it or not, I would either pick Janeway or Sisko in the middle of a crisis. Mainly because I love Kirk in a crisis, too. Well, and the uniform. But what I love about Sisko and Janeway is sometimes they know. Those of you who've ever worked in government before, like I do, occasionally what happens is you get a whole bunch of government or military people around that are scared to make a decision. So instead of making a bad decision, they make no decision. It's like Sisko and Janeway are the opposite. They're like, look, we don't got time to screw around.
Let's nuke the entire atmosphere of a planet to get one guy.
Let's nuke the atmosphere or Captain, if we cross this. Yeah. It's like, Tuvok telling Janeway, look, if we cross our territory, they could get mad. And she's like, well, we got to get home. If I navigate around every nebula, I think she made that quote, we'll never get home.
Well, so here's my take. This is what I always tell people. I want to grow up to be Picard, but I want to serve under Janeway. That's how I describe it to people. I want her to be my captain, but I want to be Picard. Anybody else have a thought they would like to share? Yes, Zoidberg? Sisko's the only one smart enough to punch Q. That's true. It's true.
You did.
It's a good point. In the back. He is the emissary.
He's the emissary.
I think I saw some hands back here, though. Did I? Somebody? No? I thought I did. Yeah, that's a good point.
Janeway puts a guy in a chair and says,
But don't you think, though, if Picard wasn't on the flagship starship and was thrown halfway across the galaxy, that maybe he would have compromised a bit, too?
Well, he does in the movies.
He does in the movies a little bit. Cowboy diplomacy.
Picard is very much the diplomat first. And the and then you got, Sisko and Janeway, who are literally fighting for their lives in many cases. And sometimes the needs of the one do outweigh the needs of the
many. That's fair. All right, well, look, guys. The voting was pretty slanted towards Picard. There's no question about it.
And we only have 5 minutes left.
Yeah. So that's it. So, okay. So I guess we should recap. So we had Deanna Troi as our counselor, Hoshi as our communications officer, Ops was Data. Okay, thank you for those paying attention at home. Our specialist was
709.
Anyone remember? It was Jadzia. We had Worf for our security officer, our engineer. It was LaForge, and we put O'Brien back in the transporter room. We had the Dr. EMH as our CMO. Our first officer was Spock. And we're going with Picard as our captain. Now, we have what way in the back here, yes. I think they'd have some great conversations. I think Picard and Spock would have some great conversations. Just watch the episode Sarek, and I think that's all you really need to know.
This would be a very entertaining television show, I think, if we could
agree.
All this. Now, we only got 3 minutes left, but does any wild card character, Derek, for you? Just pick any of your characters that you would like to include among this cast, like the Barclays of the group, or
no, I'd have Guinan on the ship. There's no question.
Garrick and Quark,
Guinan. Anyone who Q's afraid of, I want on my ship. So in the way back. Riker is chef. Too soon. Yes, sir. Emperor Georgiou. I'm good with that.
So,
well, you gotta watch Disco. Yeah. You gotta watch Disco, guys. Yes, you. We lost the thought. Okay, it's all good. Killy? Captain Killy. Mirror Universe. All right. So thank you all so much for joining us. We are Red Shirts and Runabouts, part of the Heroes Podcast Network. Greg, you can find him online at @the_bittersteel. And I am the Star Trek dude online as well. If you'd like to follow us or our show, come up. I've got business cards. He's also in the cosplay area with the 501st, and I'm in booth C78 with Siren Ray. If you want to come by and say hi to any of us, please do. We have a Star Wars panel this evening at 6:30 to talk about episode 9 theories for the new film. So please come by and see that if you would like to. Thank you again, everybody. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you all.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed that and you were able to hear everything you wanted to hear. If you liked our Ultimate Crew, didn't like our Ultimate Crew, let us know. We love talking to you. You can find us at Red Shirts Pod on Twitter. You can hit us up at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, heroespodcast.com, whatever works for you. Greg and I are out there for you to talk to. So thanks for joining us, and we will catch you next week for our Star Trek Discovery double feature review episode.
Red Shirts and Runabouts is part of the Heroes Podcast Network and is hosted by Gregory Bosco and me, Derek Mayer. The music is by Flying Killer Robots. Please follow us at Red Shirts Pod on Twitter or at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram, or heroespodcasts.com. You can subscribe to our show on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Spreaker, and pretty much any other podcast app. If you enjoy the show, please support us. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/heroespodcasts, and we also have a Ko-fi. ko-fi.com/heroespodcasts. We'll catch you next time. Live long and prosper.